Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. After he did the same with the fish, they all ate as much as they wanted. Somebody say, all you can eat. Have you noticed that they don't call it that anymore? It's all you care to eat. All you care to eat. I like all you can eat better. Verse 12, after everyone was full, I love that word, full, not half, but full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. This is our second in the message in the series, Nothing Wasted. God redeems every season, every scar, every surrender. God uses it all. Nothing is wasted. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God won't waste anything in your life. Praise God. You may be seated. Last week we began to confront the lie about leftovers and what we view as wasted parts of our life. And we did so through the words and action of Jesus when he fed the 5,000 men and their families. Bible history would tell us there was over 20,000 that would fill the Frost Bank Center to overflow capacity. Some of us are walking or walked into the season or year that we are now in carrying leftovers, leftover prayers, leftover dreams, leftover faith. Some have quietly labeled parts of their story and life as waste. It was wasted time, wasted relationships, wasted opportunities, and wasted pain. But Jesus tells us in the 12th verse of chapter 6 that nothing is wasted. Make sure, as disciples, he said, make sure that every piece of leftover, every fragment and every crumb is gathered so that nothing is wasted. This tells us something important about the heart of God, church. This tells us that God is not just about multiplication, but he is a God of preservation and restoration. And listen to this, could it be that God is waiting on the leftovers of your life so that he can multiply them? Because if you look at the leftover as only one small fragment or piece that does not matter, then you are robbing yourself of a harvest, because what you look at and you say, that's not enough. If it's not enough in your hand, it's a seed, but that seed, praise God, has a harvest inside of it, but you've got to bring it to Jesus. Jesus doesn't mind broken pieces as long as he gets all of those pieces. What looks insignificant to people is intentional to Jesus. The things you minimize, the season you dismiss, the part of your story that you try to talk, that you try not to talk about and you gloss over, Jesus notices every chapter and every part. If Jesus took time to collect leftovers after feeding thousands, hear me clearly, he has not forgotten not one piece of your story. Every part of your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God sees it, God recognizes it, and guess what? God values even the parts that you would like to forget. This series is a declaration over this house and our Living Way family. Nothing wasted. Nothing that you've gone through, not the delay, the detour, the disappointment, not the breaking. We're declaring that our pain has purpose. My delay has destiny. My breaking produced overflow. In Jesus' name, nothing is wasted. And we left off last session with the first point, that Jesus notices what others overlook. That God doesn't need perfect pieces. He needs surrendered ones. One of the most disappointing conversations that I have had more times than I would like to admit as a pastor now for 26 years is when people come to me or they message us or we run into each other at Home Depot or at HEB, and it's been a while since they've come to Living Way. And I know the devil tries to make them feel condemned in those convos, but the Holy Spirit is convicting, and they say things like this, Pastor, you're gonna see me back at Living Way. I just need to get some things worked out in my life. I just need to figure some things out and I'll be right back there. The thing is outside of Christ, you will never figure it out. outside of Jesus and His Spirit and His plan, you will never get all of your ducks in a row. That is why we are building a church for imperfect people. We are building a church for the broken people, the people with broken pieces, the people that feel discarded, undervalued, overlooked. This is your church. But I can guarantee you, every time you come to Living Way, we are going to speak life and resurrection into you. We want this to be the potter's wheel. We want to be able to say, come as you are, but let God put His hands on you. Let God put His Spirit in us. Let's move forward. Number two, fragments still carry the power of multiplication. Fragments still carry multiplication power. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. Elisha said to the woman, "What can I do to help you?" And I believe that God is asking many of us that question today. What do you need in your life from God? All of us should answer that question and be able to readily answer that question. And some of those needs might be very physical. But some of those needs might be spiritual, it might be familial, it might be relational, it might be emotional. But God, I believe, is asking everyone in this room and watching today online, what can I do to help you? What do you need done? And can I encourage you, please don't tell God what you tell us in this altar sometimes. I don't really know why I'm here. I just felt like coming down. And if you feel that way, keep coming to the altar. But when you come to the altar, you should have a goal. God, I want deliverance. I am tired of struggling. God, I want peace. I am tired of being all in my emotions and not having the peace. And I'm tired of anxious living, and I'm tired of doubt and worried living. And maybe you're fearful, and maybe you've got hate in your heart. But whatever, when God asks you the question, we've got to have a ready answer. And so Elisha, speaking for God, says, "What can I help you to do? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" The woman replies, "Nothing at all, comma, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors." Listen to what she said when she said, "Nothing at all except a flask of oil." She said, "I have nothing except." That's how fragments always sound. I don't have much, I just have this. It's not enough, it's just the leftovers. It's not what I want it to be, it's not what it used to be. This is all I have. She was discounting what she had left. And when we look at what we have left instead of what we have room to receive, we will always discount it. But I'm speaking to somebody's faith today. Don't look at it as this is all I have left. Look at it as that's all I need. That is a seed. It will not be wasted. It's not enough to pay my bills, but if I put that crumb in God's hands, He will do what only God can do. Her response is what I call fragmented talk. We don't need fragmented talk. We need faithful talk. Can I encourage you? I heard Pastor Mandy tell our kids as they were growing up, when they would get some attitude and some sass, she said, "You better fix your face." Believers, we need to fix our face, but believers, we need to fix our mouth. Your mouth is betraying you, because God is asking us questions, and how we respond and reply to those questions says everything God needs to know about our faith. You are not broke. You are in position for God to bless you. You are not sick. You are in position for God to heal you. You might not be everything you should be, but praise God, I'm better than I used to be, and I'm on my way to what God has called me to be. You've got to watch how you're talking. And listen, one of the greatest things that changes the way you talk is the people that you hang out with. Some of you need to get some spirit-filled friends that know what it's like to pump you up in praise and pump you up in prayer. Some of us need to go through our phone and delete and delete and block and block. Some of us need somebody that when we start talking fragmented, they say, "Hey, that's not talking like a child of God. Remember who you are. Remember what God has promised." I'm here to remind somebody today, you have enough, and God is more than enough. But you've got to realize that what you have is all God needs. What you have, it's all God needs. Well, I don't have this. Join the club. We are all lacking. All of us are lacking in certain areas. But for us to say, I don't have enough, we use that as an excuse, but we should be following it up with, I don't have enough, but God does. And so what I get, what I have, God, I'm going to give it to you. Elisha, remember, speaking for God, doesn't dismiss the oil, because heaven knows something earth forgets. Fragments does not mean you are finished. Fragments are not finished. Fragments viewed through fleshly eyes will never be enough. This is such a simplistic revelation, but it will change our lives if we embrace it. That if when we look at things, we look at them through the negative lens of the flesh, what we have will never be enough. How many of you work hard for your money? Just make a little noise and raise your hand. Are you offended when basketball and football players say $100 million is not enough to raise their families? I find that offensive. Because if you would just put that in the S&P 500, $100 million is going to get you on average between $10 and $12 million per year. So for them to say that, when most of the country is living from paycheck to paycheck, 30% defined are living underneath the poverty line, for someone to say, but I make this point, that you could have $1 billion and still think it's not enough. You could have a strong marriage and still make complaints about what it is not. Your kids can be sitting here today and you're still complaining about what they have not accomplished, when I want to encourage your faith. Look at what God has already done in your life. And if he's done it and brought you this far, he is going to take you the rest of the way. But we've got to start looking at the seed and the crumbs with eyes of faith and not of eyes of flesh. Fragments viewed through fleshly eyes will never be enough. However, fragments viewed through faith will always be enough. God, I don't have enough. God, I have just enough. Looking at the same seed, same crumbs. One is faith talk, one is flesh talk. Fragments viewed through fleshly eyes will always be crumbs of leftovers. However, fragments viewed through faith will always be the seed of your next harvest. I think I made this point at the end of last week's message, but I want to make it again because I want to go to Matthew chapter 15. I don't think they have that in the booth, but God gave this to me, just downloaded this just a few minutes before service started. The crumb of your life, the leftover, the part that we don't think is valuable, we don't think it's valuable because we're comparing the crumb to the loaf of bread. But check this out. The crumb has every ingredient that the loaf has. And if you get enough crumbs together, you can build another loaf. So when I say, God, all I have is crumbs, I'm really saying, God, I have every ingredient that I need for my next harvest, my next loaf, and my next miracle. And so I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to take the next few weeks of my life, and I'm going to gather every fragment, and I'm going to take those fragments, and I'm going to put them in your hand. And when I do, God, I know that not only are you going to give me a loaf, but God, your plan for my life is that I have a bakery, that I can bake and make everything that you want to give to me. Let's go to the word, Matthew 15. This is not going to be on the wall. You're going to have to write this down or go to it in your Bible. Matthew chapter 15, verse 26. This is a story about a woman with a demon-possessed daughter. She's a Canaanite woman. She is not a Jew. She is not of Israel. She tells Jesus, she said, Master, can you stop? I've got a daughter who is vexed of the devil. I need you to work in my life. And here is something that is hard to teach and preach theologically. Jesus says, no. It's in your Bible. He not only says no, no would be offensive enough from Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come for you. I came for Israel. For those of you that are newer to church, when we say that we are now grafted in, that's what we mean. We are now spiritual Jews. That's why the New Testament and the cross is so important, because before the cross, I was a nobody. But when, praise God, when the cross happened, the blood was shed, and he opened the door and tore the veil for everybody, it now means you and I, as Canaanites, as people that are not of Israel's blood, we now can receive salvation. He says, I didn't come for you. This is what he says in verse 26. But Jesus answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. This is so offensive. He tells her no. He says, you're the wrong race. And then he calls her, or refers to her, doesn't call her, but refers to her, illustrated as a, he said, you are a dog compared to the Israelites. How many of you know any one of those three responses is enough for you to get mad? People have left Living Way over less. People have ended marriages over less. People have quit jobs over less. You know what I love about this woman? She doesn't leave, doesn't get offended, doesn't get mad, doesn't have a pity party, doesn't throw a fit. I love what she says. And she said, verse 27, what you speak is true. Man, just took all of that offense and deflated it. What you said is true. You didn't come for me. I'm not an Israelite. And compared to your Israelites, I am just something else. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, I don't need everything. Just give me some leftovers. Because I understand in the leftover is everything that I will need. I don't need a slice of bread. Just give me a crumb. And that's why I think that the Bible is so awesome when you see God tying his word together. And we talk about mustard seed faith. If you have mustard seed faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Why? It's not the size of your faith. It is the value of your faith. And everything in the mustard seed, praise God, is the same as everything in the mustard tree. Verse 28, this is how Jesus responds. Jesus doesn't respond with, no, I said no. Jesus said, oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as you wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I love the gospels of Jesus. I love the miracles when he puts his fingers on eyes and ears. I love when he touches the lepers, but all because I live and you live 2,000 years after Jesus walked physically on this earth. I love the miracles where Jesus didn't show up in a physical form where they needed the miracle, but somebody's faith caused Jesus, praise God, to heal and deliver miles away. Why do you like that, Pastor Brandon? Because Jesus is alive, but his body's not in this room. He didn't walk in here physically, but what I know is the same. I might not be a Canaanite. I might be a Canaanite. I might not be Israel by blood, but I have come to this. Leftovers matter. What I do know is this, that God, if you'll just give me a little something is all I need, because once I wrap my faith in that thing, and that's where faith comes in. Once you get the revelation that leftovers matter, and then you start wrapping that thing in faith, and then you pray over it on Monday, you wrap it in faith, and then you worship in spite of the problem, you're wrapping it in faith. Then you fast on Thursday, you're wrapping it in faith. And by the time you get done with that crumb, you will see the bakery has showed up at your house, and you will be glad that you did not discredit the crumbs. The Bible says things like, despise not small beginnings. Despise not small beginnings. I can take you to the house that this church started in 50 years ago. It's right over here in Valley Forge. Probably once every 2 or 3 years. I was never in that house. That was 6 years before I was born. But I go back to that house once every 2 or 3 years and I drive by it. Never been in it, but I drive by it. And you know why I drive by it? To kill ego, to kill pride, to kill selfish desires, to kill apathy and lethargy, to kill that attitude like we have arrived. And remember, God, this is where we started. I am so glad that people didn't overlook Living Way when it was in a two-bedroom house in Valley Forge. I am so grateful that we didn't stop because we said, well, there's only six people here. Look at what the Lord has done. 50 years of fragments, 50 years of leftovers, 50 years of what others would have called wasteful living. And when we come together, look at what the Lord has done and put together. This woman understood nothing is wasted. There is power in the crumbs and the leftovers. In your hand is a crumb. In God's hand, we call that a seed. That oil, as small as it seemed, just fragments, just left over, that paid debts, saved her sons, changed her future. That story ends with her saying, I need some help because the creditors and the debts that I owe, they're going to come and take my sons as slaves if I don't pay this. What she could have minimized in that oil, Elisha said, if you give that oil to God, not only are you going to pay your debts, you're going to have enough to live on. And as many jars as she provided, God used that to fill up. Can I encourage you, make room for Jesus in 2026. Jesus does the same thing that Elisha did in 2 Kings and Matthew chapter 14. They ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of leftovers. At the end of this, he said, pick up the fragments, pick up the crumbs. When they got through, 12 basketful of crumbs. You know how many crumbs it takes to fill up a basket? And we say it doesn't matter to God. Oh, it matters. Well, I'm headed into my job. I can't spend 20 minutes praying. Oh no, that 1 minute prayer, it matters. Some of us, we hear the blessing from this family that gave $1,000 in December plus their tithe. And we say, but pastor, all I gave today was 50 cents. It matters. It matters. Pastor, I work late on Wednesdays, and it seems like right when I'm coming in, I hear 5 minutes of the word and I'm here for the altar call. It matters. Well, I sat down and I was hoping to get an hour of Devo time and study and have God's word pour into me. But once I got in there, man, the baby started crying and there's somebody at the door and I only spent 7 minutes studying my word. It matters. Quit beating yourself up over the fragments of your life and what it is not, and gather those fragments and put them in the hand of God. This tells us the truth. What remains after loss is still anointed for increase. Being a pastor is like being a dad. It's very rewarding, but it's tough. Because, and I only have two kids. Some of you have three, four, five, six kids, and I don't know how you do it. Hats off to you, praise God. It was tough for Mandy and I. I wanted twins until we had Tyler, and I was like, absolutely not. Wouldn't wish that on nobody. But as a dad, sometimes Tyler and Alyssa are in a really great season. And maybe Jaden's not in her best season, or Jaden's having the greatest season of her life. And it's hard as a father to celebrate one child and then to have to encourage the other child. And as a pastor, I have to be able to celebrate with a family that just received a $26,000 or $23,000 blessing. But then 5 minutes later, I've got to take a phone call and encourage somebody who just foreclosed on their house. One season, I'm so excited and grateful, and I'm rah-rahing somebody's life. And in the next instant, I am weeping and I am encouraging somebody. But such is life. And as a pastor today, I am preaching to people that already understand that there is power when you put faith into the fragments and leftovers, and that nothing is wasted. And you have come through those seasons and you are stronger for it. And you're living your best life now, and it's never been better. But there is people in this room that you're saying, pastor, if I could be honest, 2025 was the worst year of my life. But I want to encourage you, 2025 was not wasted. It wasn't wasted. There's some lessons you learned along the way. Your faith grew along the way. You learned what doesn't work. Some of you are looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and you're saying, I've had seven terrible relationships. Well, good for you. As long as you're not marrying all of them and you're just dating them, you found the seven that don't work. There's another 3.5 billion people out there. You said, no, there's 8 billion. There's only 3.5 billion that you can date. Actually, less than that, because some of them are married. You figured out the ones that didn't work. You figured out the business that wouldn't work. You figured out the school that's not your choice. You say, man, I wasted so much time getting that degree. No, you didn't. If you think of it like that, it is a waste. But if you said, God, I learned something in that season that prepared me for this season. Somebody say, nothing's wasted. I've got 1 minute left. What remains after loss is still anointed for increase. You may not have what you started with, but you still have something. And if you still have something, God is not finished. If it's still in your hands, God's not finished with it. You've got to let it go. Don't curse what survived. That's a word. Don't curse what survived. Because what survived is your seed. Don't curse what survived. Don't underestimate what remains. Don't despise the fragment. Years ago, Mandy and I were youth pastoring, and man, it seems like a different lifetime ago, and some amazing things happened. And there's young people that are now young adults that are sitting in this room, leading in this room. And it's been a pleasure watching them grow up. And man, back then we were raising money 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, just because we had big plans and big vision and did some amazing things. But one of the things that we did was we were teaching young people how to give. So we always took offerings. But we, and some of you remember this if you're part of the youth ministry back then, we did something called Faithful in the Fragments for years. And we had one of those big water bottles, like those big Ozarka water bottles. I think they're 5 gallons. And we encourage young people, bring your change. And sometimes they bring dollars and stuff in there, but most of the time it was pennies to quarters, some half dollars. We did that, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you get a lot of quarters and dimes. It's a lot. And over a matter of a few years, with a bunch of teenagers bringing their fragments, we raised $6,000. In pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. Manny and I are the most blessed we've ever been in our lives, but I will still stoop down to pick up a penny. I never walk over a penny. You show me somebody that is too good, too proud, or that will ignore a penny, I will show you somebody that does not have this revelation and doesn't realize that's a seed, it's not the finished product. Not the finished product. Stand on your feet. Don't curse what has survived. Don't underestimate what remains. Don't despise the fragments. Church, today there's so much in your life that is fragmented. And because it's fragmented, we don't value what is there. Remember what Elisha asked. He said, what do you want me to do? And then he said something that is so telling, and I'm going to encourage each of us in this room with this word. He said, what can I do for you? But then he said this, what is in your house? Not what's in your mama's house, not your neighbor's house. What's in your house? I've got a problem, y'all. I'm not very organized with my tools at the ranch. So when I need a tool, I look for it for all of 60 seconds, and then I go buy one. And it is a law of nature that the moment you spend $60 on a new tool, you will find the tool that you are looking for in 5 minutes right when you get home. I wonder, church, what are we asking God for that's in the house? What are we looking to God for when God said, if you just turn around one time in your house, you would find everything? But here's the thing. Some of us are saying, no, Pastor,
I know you think that's a gotcha moment, but it's not, because I look all the time. Yeah, but it doesn't look like what you think it's going to look. You're looking for the loaf of bread, and God's got 8 crumbs here, 16 crumbs there, 37 crumbs over here, and he needs you to gather everything. This is your moment. What's in your house? So as you get ready, the altar's open. As you get ready to join us in this altar right now, my question to you is this. As you come to this altar, I need you to have a ready answer to answer this question, because God, not us, God is asking you, what can I do for you? What is it that you need me to do that nobody else can meet that need? God's talking to you today. And then he follows it up with this question. What's in your house? Jake, what's in your house? Nick, what's in your house? Aslan, what's in your house? And you say, well, what I have is not, what I need is not in there. That may be true, but until you give God what you have, you'll never get what you need. Be faithful with the fragments. Nothing. Nothing wasted. No scar. No season. No surrender. Well, man, I gave God my best back in 2021. It wasn't wasted. Well, I gave God that. It wasn't wasted. God has kept perfect records of everything that you have given him. If you're in this house today, as our pastoral team and our prayer team is laying hands on men and women in this altar today, some are on their knees, some of them are embracing and laid across this altar today, and that is so powerful, because they are in moments right now where they remember what it has cost them to be here, what has been taken out of their life, things that they have carried, and God is saying, none of that in this moment is wasted. None of it's wasted. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you. The biblical word is, I want to beseech you, I want to beg you to give your life to Jesus. If this should be your last day on this earth, 24 hours from now, you could be standing before Jesus. And as for me and my house, we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into. But if you don't know Jesus, the most haunting words you will ever hear, and they will echo in your mind for eternity, depart from me, for I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you. Not through me to you, to you. To my Catholic friends and peers, I know you put a lot of emphasis on the priest. He's a godly man, but you don't need the priest to get to Jesus. Jesus is our high priest. And he says you can boldly come to him. If you need to know Jesus today for the first time, or your time to rededicate, the altar's open for you. If you want to be baptized in water, we're ready to baptize you today. If you want to be filled with his Holy Spirit, this is your moment to be filled with his Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Say, but Pastor, I got a lot of baggage. Nothing is wasted. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Nothing is wasted. I'm laying this microphone down. I'll add my faith to men and women in this room, in this altar. This is your call. Your call to peace, call to deliverance. You got something in your pocket, in your purse, in your car. You got an addiction you're ready to lay on this altar. Let's make that happen today. Whatever it is, no shame, no judgment. Lay it on this altar once and for all.